It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello. Good morning. Let's go. Let's go. Hello. Good morning. Hello.
You're listening to Sports 1140 KHTK from the Power Business Technology Toshiba Studio. KHTK AM and HD1 Sacramento. KYMX HD2 Sacramento.
Do we have a legal?
I think I have finally solved the issue of the legal ID, sort of. Yeah. I now know why it's skipping. Because it skips the 6 a.m. legal every day. But so I think I figured it out.
The important thing is, was that happening while I was gone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, that was an ongoing joke while you were gone. It's like every day the 6 a.m. legal just skips.
Why?
Well, I think I figured it out. I think it's in a dead rotator. Not that anyone know what that means, but...
Dead rotator.
Yeah, the old dead rotator.
That's the new name of the program. Hi, I'm Dave. That's Jay. If you're unfamiliar with the low, nasally, discombobulated voice you're hearing, I used to call this station when I was a little kid.
Cute.
And got a job. And then worked every shift but the afternoons. And I've been doing morning radio now at this station for, gosh, it'll be 10 consecutive next year.
Wow.
Maybe.
You go back and do the math?
Maybe. I had a lot of thinking while I was gone.
Well, while you're spilling your guts, can you give your social and your FICA out, if you don't mind?
My FICA?
Your FICA.
What is that? Is that a plant?
FICA?
FICA.
It's the feminine version of the FICO.
Ah, gotcha.
For those of you not Spanishly inclined.
I did miss that. I did miss it. Good morning. How are you, Jay?
Dude, I had one of those. I took too long of a nap yesterday.
Yeah.
And so.
You're all off.
Well, not necessarily. So I'm like, I still need to go to sleep at a decent hour. So I had melatonin last night.
Uh-huh.
So the caffeine is now just kicking in. I feel good.
Okay.
It's just after taking melatonin, when I wake up, I'm always groggy.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Uh-huh.
Bad feeling. Not here for the grogs.
You can sleep too long.
Not here for the grogs, though.
Well, thank you for covering almost every day while I was gone.
Thank God I got out for two days.
How was your vacation?
It was so nice.
Yeah?
So nice.
Where'd you go?
San Diego.
Ah, the whale's ankle.
That thing. Yep. that was the knee.
Something like that.
Okay.
Thanks to Matthew George, snarky little bastard that
Matt's
he is.
Matt's middle name?
Boy.
Matt Boy George? Got it. Yeah, I didn't even see. You know,
I was going to spit take on my own joke when you said it out loud.
I walked right into it. I told you, still a little groggy. Caffeine's just kicking in.
Matt Boy George. So San Diego was great, huh?
Yeah, man. Oh, it's nice. And I couldn't have picked a better weekend going to 80 degrees in San Diego when it was like 116 in Sacramento.
I know.
I think I made the smart choice.
I many years have done the thing where I go to get out of here. Always a you know, opposite climates. Winter, warm, summer, yeah. Cool if you can do it. And it would then be like a cooling spell here.
Not this time.
Yeah, no. Nope.
Think you hit the old proverbial nail on the head when you hit that week that you took off.
Yeah, I did. It was, I believe they said it was the second hottest day in Sacramento on record.
Yeah. Saturday, I think it got to 116. I don't know. I wasn't really paying too much attention to the Sacramento peasants.
Yes.
While I was on the beach.
Yeah. That's true.
How was the Oregonian coast? Was it very Oregon?
It's the best place I've ever been to.
Bothering you. You can just kind of hang out and do your own thing.
It was so good that it made me think,
I'm going to buy a timeshare.
When I left, I was joking about the whole contract thing.
Uh-huh.
And I know it's here for me to sign now, because sometimes it just takes a long time.
Yeah. HR works weird that way.
I think this might be my last one.
Oh, you say
no,
that.
No, I've never said that before. I think this might be my last one.
I didn't
one.
Say you, I've said that on air. I'm sure you've said that before.
I've
though.
Said it off air. I really do. I think this might. I you know, it gave me a chance to reflect on this last year,
mm-hmm.
really 2 years.
Yeah, no, you can't really reflect on a pandemic year. You have to combine it with this, like 6 months of the previous year and then the 6 months of this year.
That's kind of where this I came from. Like
weird sandwich.
And it sucks because you don't want to reflect, because my default is always, well, we were incredibly lucky during the pandemic.
Yes.
Let's just be clear. Health-wise, job-wise, mm-hmm. the station and the company is amazing. You know, people are getting laid off left and right. People are dying left and right. I mean, we really...
Yeah, in our business, there was mass layoffs amongst the big corporations.
But not with us. And that's
again,
just,
I said amongst the big right. corporations. And that's... I don't mean that in any sort of disparaging right. way. We're not a huge corporation.
So you...
We have six markets.
You don't want to... You're very reticent to reflect in any sort of a change or negative way, because you have it so much better than so many. But it's kind of like the proverbial, I cut off my wrist, but don't worry about it because there's people without legs.
Right.
And I thought about it, you know, between the whole Grant thing,
mm-hmm.
the election,
mm-hmm.
the social media, which I do so much of, like I really
use social media a lot.
I really step back. And
I was going to say, yeah, I didn't really see you tweet too much.
No, I didn't. Just vacation pics.
Yeah,
silly stuff. The reading terrible texts, Facebook groups.
Responding to terrible texts.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I walked into on Monday.
and I go up there and I'm just fishing. And listen, that's vacation. You can't live on vacation unless you're rich. I'm not rich, but. I can't do another year like that.
Okay.
I can't do it. So
look at you.
We're gonna see how this year goes. Because
reflecting, Dave.
Huh?
Here's will be the caveat.
I will pack my ass up and I will go up there and I will disappear.
Not if the Kings are good.
If the Kings are good, I will not do any of that. Because by the way, 15 years of that garbage. 15 years on top of it.
If the Kings were to be a good team, I would be willing to bet my life there's no way you walk into the big boss's office.
Right.
You know what? Not going to sign next year.
You're right.
Moving to Oregon to do some fishing.
You know, inside baseball, but that is an albatross around our neck. We go as the team goes. We cannot separate ourselves from them. So really, truly, it's been 15 years since we made the playoffs here as a station. And it does not matter the type of show you do. It does not matter the effort, the work ethic, the creativity. I've also learned that, too. You want to do the best show you can do. But if the Kings aren't good, we're the home of the Kings. You'll get ratings go up at the beginning of the year. Ratings go up if there's a winning streak, big trade. And then, you know, about...
Ratings go up when there's positive news.
Right.
Problem is there's not a lot of it.
But hold on. Ratings also go up when there's negative news.
Not as much anymore. I think that used to be
people
a thing.
Get used to
but
it.
After 15 years, I don't think it works that way after a while.
And the sad thing is that if the Kings, I mean, I want to say if the Kings did what the Suns did, but that's an extreme. If the Kings did half, if Kings made the playoffs.
Like the actual playoffs, not the play-in.
You could come in here.
I hate that we have to preface that, by the way.
But you know that we could come in here and play the drums for 3 hours.
No, we couldn't because people would want to tune in to hear about the Kings. And if they tuned in and hear the drums, they'd tune out.
I'm just saying you pretty much would just have to come in here and
put on a purple jersey.
Right, and boom, triple the ratings. So, when you know, I got kids in school and parents here that are you know, not youthful. And I love my, I love the city. And I love the interaction with the people, the positive interaction. The people, but I have come
since
back. It's why I do this. I do it to interact. But
I'm talking about the positive part.
Oh, I gotcha. Believe it or not, there is some.
I need to see video or it's not existing.
And I missed, you know, listen, Chris and Paul and Earl and MC when he shows up and Mike and everybody on the text line. I mean, I truly didn't. I checked in on you guys each and every day. And I can't do another year of that. Not gonna. We'll after experiencing that and unplugging, which mm-hmm. I invite everybody to try to do.
Unplugging is great, even if it's 30 minutes down the road.
Come back into a tornado, the daily tornado. It's just not, I don't think people credit it. I'm not really a mental health guy.
Like, why not?
Exactly. And I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, mental health's made up. No. I very much understand and respect. I've been to therapy. Like, I'm not a mental health guy in the mirror. Mm. I'm not one of those like, I need a mental health day or my mental. I got to be honest. Taking that 10 days off made me realize just how much of a dick I'd turned into.
Wow.
Big time. Just a dick. And the amount of.
Can I isolate that?
You can do whatever you want. The daily arguments, the back and forth, the attraction to the negative banter, seeking out mm-hmm. the fights.
Mm-hmm. That's why people take mental health days.
I think it's really just me just wanting to do that. Just somehow, some way.
I took two, so I'd imagine 10 you could do some real reflecting.
You can. You did. Yeah, I did. And I'm excited to get back and talk about Ben Simmons. I am excited to get back and talk about Stephen A. Smith's Shohei Ohtani comments that nobody wants to touch.
We touched him yesterday. I touch him, boy. I tickled them things. Yeah.
Did they see what you just did?
Uh-huh. Oof. Yep. Made sure that was on camera. Dude, we got Oakland, the A's, moving. Casey Pratt's going to join us today at 8:30. He's been all over that story. Like, we got a lot to talk about with them.
And I know we got to, and this is another, like, I also want to do the whole, I'm also done doing the fake hype.
Uh-huh.
Like, the A's are gone. We'll talk about it. But let's just be realistic. The A's are right.
Oh, I'm with you. I think they got 1 foot, four toes, and a toenail.
They're gone. The A's right now are what we talked about when Kawhi Leonard missed his first game in the playoffs. When he missed that first game, and we were talking the whole time about he's gone.
Oh, there's
they're
nobody
just
wanted
playing
to say it
along. Nobody wanted to say it, but we did. We talked about it.
We've said it at length. We think they're gone.
He's gone.
And Kawhi. Are the A's going to have ACL surgery in the offseason that they didn't report?
In Vegas.
Yeah.
We got a lot to talk about. We'll take a break. It's good to be back.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
I did miss all of you, and it is refreshing to be back. I truly did. All right, let's lead it off. The All-Star game happened yesterday.
Facts.
We'll probably talk about the uniforms. Rob Manfred weighs in on the A's. And that process, as he said, is very much at the end. And the NBA Finals are still going on.
That's a thing.
Also, J-Bo.
Isn't that a nice thing to have in the middle of July, by the way?
It is.
What did I put?
Casey Pratt, ABC 7, the Bay Area. Yes. He's going to come on and talk about the A's at 8:05. We'll start it all. It's a big Wednesday
8:30.
Show.
He's on at 8:30.
Did I say 8:05?
Yeah, he's on at 8:30.
I'm testing you.
Yeah,
you
good test. Yep, check
we'll be
mark.
Right back.
One is bald, the other completely lacks talent. And they're both here to entertain you. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
Our British Open coverage, or should we say the Open?
I prefer the British Open. I hate that it's the Open. Go on.
I mean, to everybody else it's the Open. I think it's like a soccer and football thing.
It is.
It's brought to you by Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices. It's always, always about quality. It's not sometimes about quality. It's always about quality.
Not a few times, not only on the weekends. Yeah. Always, 24/7.
Ja Rahm is hot as heck.
He is a sexy man.
He's off tomorrow. He won the U.S. Open last month. And he's looking to become only the seventh player in just a second in nearly 40 years to win the U.S. Open and the British Open in the same year. Tiger Woods last to do it, shockingly, in 2000. Tom Watson prior in 82. The others were Bobby Jones. He did it twice in 26 and 30. That was a fun tourney.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good. And then the fact that he was able to win all defensive honors with the Sixers 40 mm-hmm. years later is truly something we don't give enough credit to.
Gene Sarazen in 32, Ben Hogan in 53, and Lee Trevino in 1971.
You know my first clubs were a Bobby Jones set?
I did not know that.
Now you know.
I do
know. I had a set of Bobby Jones clubs, and boy, were they old.
Yeah, but you know what? Everybody should start out with that set.
Bobby Jones?
Like that. I forget what set. It was an old hand-me-down from my dad or whatever. But
I remember my friend, we would go out. I had the old hand-me-down Bobby Jones, and he had a set he just found. He made a set. He went to the dump. and found golf clubs and made a set with different.
I mean,
do what you got to do,
what you got to do. Get the clubs, and you can. My kid has a piece of crap set of clubs right now because we need to see. Because
he's a piece of crap golfer.
Thank you. If he gets into it and blah, blah, yeah, we'll get him some good clubs. But I think the world is filled with secondhand clubs from families that buy this overly expensive set for their kids, and right. then they use them for a week.
No, the hand-me-downs are the way to go. Not just that, right. but the idea that the clubs are what's going to keep your 12-year-old from being the next Tiger Woods is right. not exactly a thing.
Chris wants to know in the YouTube chat, you can join us, YouTube. Kate, you can't. It's a fair question. Did you work out while you were on vacation? And he's asking me, and if so, how much, if not, how much weight did you gain? There was actually a mini gym at the place you were staying at. What I mean by that is they had a treadmill, and they had some dumbbells. Yeah, the little the ones where you can adjust them.
Yeah, you can't call that a gym. It's a workout space.
Well, it also had a sauna, but we couldn't use it because they still do the COVID thing. I worked out the first couple days I was there, and I was like, nah. Did the weigh-in last night. We'll see what this morning looks like because I'd eaten.
Right.
Definitely fell off the diet, man.
That a boy.
But 4.1 pounds.
Hey, man. That's nothing.
I have a little eraser marker on my mirror where I'll put the date and what I weigh.
That's nothing.
Actually, I thought it would be worse.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Four is not bad for 10 days. No. That's not bad at all.
Back at it, though, today. Kawhi Leonard, surgery on his torn ACL, partially torn ACL, according to the Clippers. Will be interesting now as he enters into a possible opt-out year, what's going on. We had the worst-kept secret in NBA circles was that Kawhi Leonard was done for the season. And you do wonder. You do wonder what that Clippers-Suns series would have looked like, but we could say that about a lot. You know, what would the Nets-Bucks series have looked like? Take the Bucks 7 games to be able to beat a Kyrie-less and half a James Harden team.
Hey, would the 76ers be in the finals had they traded for Kyle Lowry and not George Hill?
We will never know. Bottom line is the finals are back tonight. And, you know, they always say, Jay, that there's nothing to worry about until the home team loses their first game.
Mm-hmm.
And so far it has gone scratch. Suns win the first two. Bucks blew them out in the third. We'll talk later about did the Bucks figure something out or is that just the ebb and flow of the series per se. Ball's still proverbially in the Suns' court.
Of course, they still have home court advantage. Suns are good right now.
According to our friend Mark Stein, friend I say in air quotes because he did not return my text yesterday, which is really weird from Mark. I've known Mark many, many years, and now that Mark is over at Substack and down with the New York Times and his ESPN stuff, that means to me when I heard that news, of course, it's all about us. We can get Mark back on the show more often like we used to. Mark was a very good friend of the old night show and would come on quite often when ESPN didn't have those rules and regulations. We will try to get Mark on later in the week if he ever returns a text, but he reported that the Kings are amongst potential suitors for Ben Simmons. Here's a quick breakdown from my position. Number one, if you can get Ben Simmons for anything, I would say 3 first-round picks or less, and not Fox or Halliburton, you do the deal. No, I know. I hear you. I'm saying you do the deal.
Yeah, yes.
But the point is I cannot fathom a world unless the Kings sign off their next 10 first-round picks, then maybe. But even then, the money doesn't work. I cannot imagine a world in which De'Aaron Fox is not part of a Ben Simmons deal. And I say De'Aaron Fox specifically, though they could make it work out otherwise, let's say with a Buddy Barnes Halliburton, I'm talking monetarily.
Mm-hmm.
But it really does smell like, if you're talking realism, it really does smell like a De'Aaron Fox and the 9 pick to start.
Yeah, we know Simmons. Because we know they rejected Brogdon in the 11, I think it was from Indiana, right?
Yeah.
So I think De'Aaron Fox is better than Brogdon. The 9 clearly is better than the 11. So that is a better trade package. But how much better in Philadelphia's eyes? I would imagine right now, today, not much better. Now, that could obviously change.
Sure.
Obviously, it's reported Daryl Morey wants a star in return. It's just that star has to be available to trade for.
I think Philadelphia is better with De'Aaron Fox in the 9 pick.
Oh, I for sure.
Than with Ben Simmons.
I do, too. I agree. But I also think the Kings might be better with Ben Simmons.
Well, and that's really the question. And this is torn. I have seen.
Isn't that the best of both worlds? Everyone's happy.
Every time something like this comes up, it's, you know, you have a, like our good friend Christina Werner of Fox 40 did the, you know, if they trade De'Aaron Fox, I'm done with this team.
Okay.
And I've seen, but I don't want to just single her out. My point is, I've seen so much of that over the last 2 days. Obviously, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, that was one. Here's what I would say to everyone. If you want to say that if XYZ player gets traded, you're done, please amend it to say you're done until they get good.
Right. Because you'll be back.
Let me just present a scenario. Let's say De'Aaron Fox is traded for Ben Simmons, and that move coupled with and the Kings are back in the playoffs this year, next year. I don't know, whatever. There is not a single person who has been a Kings fan longer than 20 minutes that would go, you know, I know they're back in the playoffs, but they traded my guy. I'm done.
Dude.
Doesn't exist.
That the idea that somebody would say, I am done after any player of the last 15 years has been traded, and to your point, when they're good, not come out. You are a liar. If you don't, you're either a liar, or you so badly have something wrong with you that you need to be right and stay by these stupid convictions that you're going to do it. Either way, it's not happening.
I love the idea. It's certainly not without risk, but this is exactly the type of trade the Kings should be looking at.
I think the risk part of it is the most ironic thing for me, is that nobody wants to take a risk. I'm like, this team hasn't been relevant in 15 years and nobody wants to take a risk? All right.
I get it in the sense I'm a De'Aaron Fox stan.
Oh, I love De'Aaron.
I love him as a player. I love him as a person. He's a good dude. And we don't have a lot of good here. I would also say the whole Barnes, Buddy, Bagley, and the 9 package that Kings fans keep throwing out, said this on Twitter yesterday.
Guys, not a chance
at all. That has, and not just in this deal, please understand, that has far less value to everyone else in the NBA except for you. And if you're saying, well, if that doesn't get it done, don't get it done, I hear you. But the whole idea of, look at the history of every trade ever made of a star player. And Ben Simmons is a star player. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter what he did in the playoffs. Doesn't matter what he didn't do. Doesn't matter he doesn't shoot threes. Doesn't matter what he did from the free throw line. Doesn't matter what he did in the fourth quarter.
We focus so much on the things that they can't do versus the things they can do, which is things that this team can't do.
3 All-Star games in 4 years. 3 All-Defense first teams?
2 or 3. I think he might have 2 first and a second, but either way, good defender, right?
Ben Simmons is a star / borderline superstar. Let's call him a star. Look at the history of trades in the NBA when a star is traded. And look at what Bill Simmons used to call the poo-poo platter.
Mm-hmm.
When Team A trades star and Team B trades back the platter. Now, I wouldn't call De'Aaron Fox part of a platter. De'Aaron Fox is a bona fide budding superstar. But almost always, it's the look at the most recent one. Look at the James Harden deal with the Rockets. Now, there's still some picks involved, and time will tell, but that's going to be a steal for Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And the Kings are not good.
No, they're actually, some would say, bad.
Yeah,
actually, I take it back. They're not even bad. They're in purgatory.
And the whole contract thing. Listen, for a team like Sacramento, Ben Simmons is the ideal situation money. If you've paid attention to the smoke signals Monty McNair has sent since he got here, we're going to stay flexible, we're going to stay ready, and maybe we will find, much like his predecessor Daryl Morey, who he is now on the phone with allegedly, we're going to find a disgruntled superstar, a team disgruntled with a superstar, preferably a young one, and oh, by the way, signed for a long time, meaning you have team control. Makes a lot of money. He's got a lot of issues. But the question you have to ask yourself is this. Is this team better with De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton in the backcourt? Or is this team better with Tyrese Halliburton at point guard and Ben Simmons sitting there at the 3 or the 4 and then build around that? Ain't going to happen, probably. These things almost never do, but...
Yeah, I mean, I would, if you're holding a gun to my head, I'd be like, no, this trade doesn't go down.
Right.
But there's something there. we got to go. But
if the trade doesn't go down, it's most likely going to be because other teams can offer.
Yeah, other teams just had a better offer.
We'll talk more about this at 7:35. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
And by 7:35, I mean 8:05. 7:35, we'll do halftime. We'll talk about Rob Manfred's comments on the Oakland Athletics. When we get back, speaking of basketball, the NBA Finals preview. What changed in Game 3, or did it? And is control of the series up for grabs tonight on either side? We'll do that in a couple minutes.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
These people talk endlessly, incessantly. They have a very high number of words per minute.
On Sports 1140 KHTK.
The Ben Simmons conversation at 8:05, but I think
I'm sorry, I gotta bring up one comment about it.
Yeah, we're probably going the same way.
Is it Earl?
It's whoever is worried about what Ben Simmons will do in the fourth quarter of the playoffs.
Oh no, this one's better. I love you, Earl, but I don't know. It would suck to lose Fox Ray. What if guy?
What if guy? Right.
Remember, the what-if guy is the all-star.
The all-defensive first-teamer.
The guy you're training has not done any of that.
The guy's actually a more efficient shooter. I mean, literally, that's the one thing people forget, too. Oh, he doesn't shoot threes. Yeah, I get you, but Ben Simmons is a career 56% shooter.
Well, and it's not like De'Aaron is a dead-eye outside shooter. No. And he's an adequate outside shooter.
By the way, what I don't want to do is turn these conversations into a anti-De'Aaron Fox.
No, exactly,
like,
but come on.
I'm not...
a what-if guy?
Yeah, he's not a what-if guy. He's a what-is guy. And with that what-is comes some flaws, some big flaws.
Yes.
But also, Kings fans...
Is there a player you could trade for in the NBA outside of, like, three guys that don't have big flaws?
I mean, first off, when you're on a bad team, nobody's untouchable.
Yeah.
Secondly, when you're on a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 15 years... You look incredibly silly when you say, well, look what he did in the playoffs. Okay, well, why don't you get to the playoffs? Can we just get to the playoffs, please?
Well, the other one, it's down. Kings are down 2. You're going to have to sub Simmons out. I'm like, yeah, the problem is for the last 15 years, the Kings have been down 20 and have to sub in the end of the bench.
And my guy Martin in the YouTube chat has been saying this for weeks, that Fox is a better all-around player than Ben Simmons. No, he's not.
No, he just shoots better by...
He shoots better from three. In what aspect? Tell me, is he better? Go do yourself a favor. Seriously, do this. Everybody, please do this before you have this conversation. Go Google NBA player comparison. And then you're going to find a website. I forget what the hell it's called. But you'll see where you can compare players. Whether it's compare Fox and Simmons for their careers. And then look at points, of which, by the way, De'Aaron scores more points. There's no doubt about it. Look at field goal percentage. Look at rebounds, in which Simmons almost triples Fox in rebounds. Oh, by the way, more assists than De'Aaron Fox. Steals, blocks, defensive first team. Now, is some of that a product of De'Aaron Fox's team? Probably.
Yep.
Is some of that a product of De'Aaron Fox's teammates? Probably. Does De'Aaron Fox have perhaps a higher ceiling, and is he on a better trajectory?
Maybe.
I hear the argument that Ben Simmons has been declining in some aspects and that Fox has been. I hear it. I'm not here to tell you to slam dunk.
Listen, if Fox goes to Philly, he's probably an all-star next year in the Eastern Conference.
He probably is. But this is not something that is just a disease of Kings fans. And I don't like saying, by the way, of Kings fans, because it sounds like I'm separating myself. I am a Kings fan. I wear purple glasses. I get it. We overvalue our players so much sometimes. We undervalue ones we don't like on other teams. And, oh, by the way, we also, as we mentioned in the last segment, have this habit of, okay, let's take all the players that we don't really like, and if we package a lot of them, maybe we can get somebody really good. That's just not how it works.
We're going to basically trade, you know, frozen dino nuggets, a piece of bread, and maybe a spoon of peanut butter for filet mignon.
And I hear what Earl is saying, too, that trading Ben Simmons to Sacramento will make him depressed. I would offer you this, Earl.
Have you been to the Crocker Art Museum?
It can't get, it can't get much worse for Ben Simmons than what he's been dealing with in Philadelphia. Sacramento media and fans are patty cake pillow fights compared to what you deal with in a market like Philly. You have to allow for the fact that Ben Simmons would come here in this hypothetical situation and go, my God, it's like this weight's off my shoulders. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, this city is welcoming me. I have a new start. This is awesome. Doesn't sound like Joel Embiid's a big fan of his based on those post-game comments.
Doesn't sound like his coach is a big fan of his.
So I get to come to a situation at 24 years old where I've got this fresh start, and I skip the Olympics to work on my stuff. Like, I'm ready.
You're in California also. It's a lot better weather than Philadelphia.
Right.
Could be closer to that Australian weather he's used to.
I mean, the whole thing about, and I was, you know, this is a lesson we all should learn. You know, the DeMarcus Cousins trade. Nobody was more upset than I was. Nobody was more upset. Especially after being at that goodbye dinner. You remember the video where he's crying mm-hmm. at McCooney. Mark's a good friend of mine. Not to mention I'm a Kings fan. I was beside myself with anger. Now let's look back on that trade. Is that a bad trade? I mean, Kings certainly haven't made the playoffs because of it.
Could have been better.
It could have been better.
But we have to go with what actually happened.
Nowhere near the trajectory of DeMarcus Cousins post-Sacramento with a very good stop in New Orleans until the injury.
Mm-hmm.
Trey wasn't that bad.
No.
And
of course, that's always hindsight.
Right.
And right now, we're talking.
I'm just saying history is history. And
you're talking about two young guys here in Fox and Simmons whose careers can go.
Sure.
These things are not predictable.
Not
There's
at
trajectories,
all.
But you can't actually predict these things.
You have to make moves because what's happening right now ain't working. By the way, that's not De'Aaron Fox's fault.
No, not at all. I would say he's actually the least of any problem the Kings have.
Ben Simmons doesn't seem like the guy to embrace a small market based on what? I'm not saying he is. I'm saying where do we make these mental gymnastics?
I mean, he went to college at LSU.
And he could have gone to any college in the United States.
He chose LSU.
He's from Australia. For God's sake.
And he chose LSU.
He chose to go to Baton Rouge. Well, he doesn't seem like that. He doesn't seem like he'd like a small market. What? Why?
He doesn't seem like he'd like Philadelphia either. So we got to find a happy medium, don't we?
Listen, it's fun sports radio goofiness to talk about. The idea that like the Sixers are going to throw in more on a Fox trade is ludicrous. The idea that Philly trade it straight up. No, they wouldn't. Watch and see if it does happen. Watch what the trade looks like. Philly ain't throwing more. They might throw more in for pieces or whatever to work out salaries.
Sure.
But you're not getting picks and Matisse Thybulles out of it. You might get a Tobias Harris. Wouldn't that be grand? Hell, let's make it bigger.
Well, if you're doing a deal for Tobias Harris, that's about, I don't know, $70 million coming in. That's a lot of pieces you're going to have to figure out.
So you can start with Fox and Buddy.
You would have to start with Fox and Buddy and Barnes to make even get close to the money.
Did you go Fox, Buddy, Barnes for Harris and...
Yeah. I would. I don't know if Philly would. That might be a little too drastic. For a team that was the number one seed overall, that might be a little too drastic.
The NBA Finals are back tonight. Game 3 was a reverse. A reverse of what we'd seen. And really, if you go back to the play-ins from the year before, up until that game, Phoenix had been 25-4. 21-4, excuse me, in their last 25, air quotes, postseason games. Again, I'm counting the 7-0 just to kind of cheat a little bit. And Phoenix certainly, listen, if Phoenix beats the Bucks the other night, Game 3. I think it's a sweep.
Oh, series is done.
It's a sweep. It's a sweep.
Oh, I think the Bucks might have got Game 4 at that point. I would say gentleman sweep.
Phoenix has had this look of, I wouldn't say invincibility, but pretty damn close. And by the way, it's still, you come back tonight and win, and we're right back here. You know, 5-game. In fact, I believe the series is favored. Or was favored from the beginning. I think it was Suns in 5 or Suns in 6.
I thought 6 was. And that's. I would have taken that all day at before game one.
The key here, the thing I'm looking at real hard is Devin Booker. Obviously, that's the difference in game three.
Mm-hmm.
We have Devin Booker going 3 of 14, being sat down. He just had a horrific game, 29 minutes. And I find myself wondering, as Giannis is having a series for the ages, which I'm really
after
happy
hyperextending
about.
A knee.
Yes. And he's still going for damn near 40 and 10 every game. But is this where the depth of the Bucks comes in? And is this where
Drew Holiday was the difference maker in game three.
That's 100% correct.
It was the mere effect of Booker struggled and Drew Holiday finally turned it on, because Drew Holiday on the offensive side of the ball in game one and two was awful.
Right. And I don't know that they necessarily need Drew Holiday's offense as much as they need. If he can do that to Devin Booker every game, screw his offense. Someone else will pick it up.
Yeah, but I feel like with the Bucks, they do need his offense. And if he gives you both, that to me right there, if you get both like you did in game three, Phoenix is going to really struggle to win this
series.
If
you get both like that, the series is going to be Bucks in six. What I'm saying is, the Suns need Booker's offense more than the Bucks need Holiday's offense.
Oh, for sure.
And if you're going to trade them off, that's a hell of a trade for the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But in game three, you didn't need to trade it off. We'll talk more about this later. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
1 hour in the books. We'll go to Soundgarden next. Joe Vardy and Greg Popovich, our favorite back and forth. Buddy Hield had a comment on a lot of things. We'll play his comments on the Suns and their turnaround. And Stephen A. Smith and his apology. We'll talk about it next.